SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Friday, the 22nd of March, 2024. Later on, we'll speak with Marjabeen Zaman from ANZ about the day's market action and some interesting moves on the currency markets. But first, to the RBA's Financial Stability Review. And for that, Rayna Bosch spoke with Shane Oliver, Chief Economist at ANZ.
Overall, the Reserve Bank has painted a fairly benign picture in terms of the financial stability of the economy. It points to an improving global outlook. It also indicates that while many households and businesses are facing challenging circumstances, most are managing to service their debts and their essential living expenses. And overall, it also points out that mortgage arrears are pretty low. They might be rising, but they're coming from a very low base. So the overall picture looks relatively benign. But of course, beneath the surface, there are some big risks here. Obviously, globally, issues around the Chinese property market, issues with the commercial property market, and of course, issues with Australian households, particularly if mortgage rates do rise further.
Shane, we'll delve a little bit further into those risks in a second, but looking at mortgages, there was a lot of commentary around higher for long interest rates and the potential impact of that on cash flow for households. What's your take on all of this?
Basically, the Reserve Bank has indicated that on its analysis, around 5% of households with a variable rate mortgage are cash flow negative. That's where their essential living expenses and their mortgage servicing payments exceed their income levels. And that hasn't really changed since their last financial stability review, which was in October last year. It also points out, though, that that number will stay around those levels for much of the rest of this year. But then if interest rates start to fall and real wages start to rise, as it projected in its most recent forecasts, then the number of households who are cash flow negative will start to go down. So that's a relatively benign picture. Flip side, though, is that it also has run a scenario, though, where interest rates stay higher for longer and, in fact, go up another 0.5% from where we are today. Under that scenario, the number of households who are cash flow negative rises just above 6%, before then starting to improve through 2025 and after that. So overall, that suggests that, yes, there's a small group of households out there who are very financially stretched. They've had to cut back all their discretionary income to keep servicing their mortgage, and that group may rise if mortgage rates go up further. But overall, based on the RBA analysis, it looks manageable. My concern, though, is that it's used a very narrow definition of what it considers to be essential living expenses. And it pointed this out last October in its last financial stability review, but it's left it out this time around. Basically, the sort of essential living expenses there, including, exclude things like private health insurance or school fees. Whereas if you use a broader definition of essential living expenses and also allow for households that have fixed rate mortgages, then the number of households who are affected rises above 13%, who are currently cash flow negative, and we could be well above 400,000 households. So a far bigger group of households looking vulnerable if you allow for a broader measure of what you consider to be essential living expenses.
Accounting for this week's labour statistics, which support that higher for longer narrative, what then do you see as the likelihood of this occurring?
Well, there is a high risk that interest rates could stay higher for longer. Our base case view is that rates will start to come down from around mid-year, hopefully June, but it could well be August. And I think the consensus amongst economists is for rate cuts to start around August or September. The risk is that that is delayed. So these households who are already cash flow negative, so to speak, will face more stress as the year proceeds. And of course, there's only a limited amount by which you can keep cutting back discretionary spending or working longer hours or selling assets. At some point, those options for survival start to run out, and the risk will rise the longer interest rates stay at these levels. People can't keep cutting back their expenses forever, and those spending cutbacks will impact the broader economy and result in weaker economic conditions and a weaker jobs market. So yes, the Financial Stability Review paints a relatively benign picture here, but there are significant risks. If we do have longer and higher interest rates, if interest rate cuts are delayed, for example, if that were to occur, I think the risks around the household sector would escalate quite significantly.
Looking more broadly to the global outlook, you mentioned some of the risks that the RBA pointed to. Primary around them was China's property market and the ongoing issues there. Why is this coming out as the biggest issue, and what could be the potential impact on Australia's economy?
Well, the bottom line is that China is Australia's biggest export market. It takes something like 35 to 40% of our total exports. As a result, if anything were to go wrong with the Chinese economy, then that would severely affect Australia. Firstly, in the form of much lower commodity prices for things like iron ore, and then, of course, in lower export volumes. And, of course, the biggest risk in China is the Chinese property market. We've been seeing sharp falls or significant falls in Chinese home prices. There's big issues with Chinese property developers. Evergrande is regularly in the headlines, for example. And, of course, if that situation continues to deteriorate, it could weigh on the broader Chinese economy. So far, the Chinese authorities have been managing it relatively benignly, and hopefully that remains the case, but obviously that risk is there, and that's why the Reserve Bank has singled it out.
That is Rainer Bosch speaking with Shane Oliver from AMP. The Australian share market did fall today, the S&P ASX 200 down about 0.15%, 7,770. For more, I spoke with Marja Bin Zaman, the head of foreign exchange strategy at ANZ. Marja Bin, the market's down today. Why?
Look, I think one of the key drivers has been the CNY, the Chinese yuan. It has actually had a much weaker fix, and the catalyst has been that the People's Bank of China has lowered its daily reference rate by the most since February, so resulting in a weaker fix. So now we see dollar CNY at 7.2. This is a key technical level which it has breached. So as a result of that, we have seen drops in regional currencies weighing on sentiment locally and overseas as well. Furthermore, Chinese equities are furthermore also down today. That's, I guess, spreading over to onshore over here. Broadly risk-off mode, there has been some news that there's been a new bill that has come out in the U.S., which sort of defines that mutual funds in the U.S. cannot invest in some products tracking Chinese stock indices. Now, this is, again, not yet passed in law, but again, this is something that has come out, which is driving risk sentiment downwards.
It's been a big week for global central banks, Australia, the US, Bank of England, along with Japan. What have we learned?
Look, it's been very interesting and very exciting, I would say, with the Swiss National Bank surprise with a rate cut, starting, you know, taking the first step of all the central banks. But it's interesting because the takeaway from the Bank of England, the Fed, even the BOJ, Bank of Japan, which actually raised rates, was that they were dovish. So broadly, the view is that central banks are now shifting broadly ex-Japan into a synchronized easing cycle. The dovish communications now has started, and you could argue similar story with RBA this week.
So speaking of the RBA, we saw those jobs numbers come out stronger than expected yesterday. There's commentary suggesting that rate cuts have been pushed out further to the end of the year, possibly into next year. What are you thinking?
Look, I think the jobs numbers have been pretty volatile over the past few months. You know, our takeaway from the RBA is that based on their communication in their meeting this week is that they are possibly looking at a shift towards being neutral or less hawkish. Look, you could argue, yes, we got a strong jobs number, but then, you know, when we look at business surveys, 80% of firms still continue to say that labor is a constraint on output. So that explains the job numbers that we got. But then when we look at CPI, you know, monthly CPI or monthly inflation is annualizing within RBA's band, whichever way we look at it. We do get next week the CPI monthly inflation number. We are expecting a 3.5% for the month of Feb. slightly higher than January's number. And thereafter, of course, at the end of the month, we get the Q1 CPI details as well. Broadly, CPI is trending in the direction that the RBA wants, downwards. And I think that momentum is going to remain in play. And finally, last but not least, we also look at the consumer, how the consumer is doing. The consumer is slowing down, and we see that in retail sales. And also, coming back to what all of that means, yes, RBA is now less hawkish, you would argue, but I think we think, at least at ANZ, that the first rate cut will only come in November, and that's because we also have fiscal easing coming and the possibility of a little bit more in the federal budget, so we're not moving away from November at this stage for the first rate cut.
Now, finally, how is this all playing out in the Forex market? It's quite interesting because over the past couple of days, the Australian dollar has been strengthening, in particular against the US and the Japanese yen. I think it did hit parity with the Japanese yen, but if we take a look today, there's been quite a correction on both sides. What's going on?
Look, I think Aussie dollar tends to be correlated to what happens in China. You know, Aussie dollar is used as a proxy to again, play out good or bad news from China. And clearly, the risk sentiment in China is feeding into Aussie dollar as well. I guess going forward, we continue to do think that the Aussie dollar will be higher towards the end of the year. We're thinking about a 70 for forecast into year end. And that's really driven on the back of a weaker US dollar. We spoke about the central bank. So we think the Federal Reserve is going to start cutting in July, RBA cuts in November. And so that narrowing rate differential will be positive for the Aussie into year end.
That is Marja Beans-Aman there from ANZ.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organization a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.